show you don't want to miss.
The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big.
Think big.
It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
How about those Dallas Mavericks as they get the big bounce and reprieve on Wednesday night in Denver? They snap that three-game losing skid, and they certainly were impressive in the first half as they reeled off 64 points. But most importantly, they got off to a fast start in the second half. That's what Coach Carlisle has been talking about. And they finished with a 10-point win over those Denver Nuggets. It is such a pleasure. We always like new guests coming on our show. And we've got a very special one. I had a chance to talk to him at one of the Mavs games recently. Russell Scott, he is radio station manager right here in our backyard at KTCU 88.7 FM. And he is one of the hardest working guys in radio. He oversees the Mavs podcast at Mavs.com. You want to be sure and check all that out. There's some great, great stuff on there. First of all, Russell, welcome aboard. It's great to have you on.
It's good to be here. And that was a great game for the Mavericks, wasn't it?
It certainly was. And, you know, let's reflect on that because they really did need a boost and some relief because what I thought, you know, as I watched the game, they played team basketball, but they played a complete game for a full 48 minutes. And I know Coach Carlisle was thrilled with that.
Yeah, you know, I think part of that was for the first time this year, they got 3 days off and they had a chance to practice. And, you know, as Dirk talked about after the game, they had a chance to on Sunday kind of catch their wind, if you will. They had a little time off on Sunday afternoon, so they were able to watch the Super Bowl and kind of relax a little bit and really, you know, just kind of recharge their batteries. But the season is so compressed and the games come so fast that, you know, if you get out of sync, you don't really have time to get on the practice court and go over a lot of these things. So I think that three games helped a lot. I'll tell you the truth, I didn't have much expectations going into the game because Denver is a great team. Hard to win there, but the Mavericks looked energetic. They looked like a team, as you said, and there just was no letdown in from start to finish, really.
And, you know, Russell, you are spot on because Denver is a very respectable team. And, you know, if you've ever been in Colorado, I remember those college playing days in Boulder, Colorado, the altitude, it does kick in. It can be a factor. But as you said, I mean, they did look energized. But one of the bright spots, truly, I love seeing this play coming off the bench. Brandon Wright, I mean, he had scored 6 of his 10 points in the second half, and he has continued just to be a very steady force off the bench. You got to love that.
You know, he's a guy that when he came into the league, he was, I think, an 8th overall pick. Mavericks pick him up, and he seems to have kind of found a home here with the Mavericks. He's not being relied on to do too much, but he adds so much energy coming off the bench. And I had a chance to visit with him in the locker room after their last home game, and he's just such a great guy. You know, he's one of those guys you can sit down and talk to, and he is in there trying to learn as much as he can. Somebody described him as kind of a big puppy dog because he's got so much energy when he comes off the bench.
Yeah.
But he's so much fun to watch, you know. And the story is, and I haven't talked to Jason Terry about this, but part of the story is that Jason Terry actually went to Coach Carlisle and said, you know, we got to figure out a way to get this guy in the lineup more often because he just does so many good things. And he's so fun to watch, and he's so full of energy. And I'll tell you what, he's got some hops, too. He can get up there, can't he?
Absolutely. He is a high riser. I just think about that thunderous dunk that we saw just, you know, a couple of weeks ago from the nifty feed from Jason Terry. But, you know, when we talk about Brandon Wright, I thought it was interesting that Coach Carlisle said, you know, they don't specifically run any plays for him. He just has the knack of being in the right place at the right time. And when he does get the ball in those critical stretches, he's throwing it down and he's making those high percentage shots.
He's taking advantage of every opportunity that they've given him. And I think that's what, and you know, and I haven't really stopped to think about this, and I haven't looked at the stats or anything, but I think part of what helps him is he's able to platoon with Jan Mahimi, and those two guys kind of push each other. And I think that's helped both of them get better. I think Jan has come back, you know, this year, weren't sure what to expect, but he's really come on. And I think, you know, you talk about losing Tyson Chandler. Well, they've made up the points and the rebounds in these two guys. I don't know that they made up the leadership that they lost, but these two guys, as far as the play on the court, as far as the points and rebounds and stuff like that, They certainly have stepped in there and done a really nice job.
And you go straight down the list at that five spot, the five position, you know, Brendan Haywood, Jan, as you said, now Brandon Wright. And it is, as Coach Carlisle's talked about, he wants that three-headed monster. And each of these guys do bring something a little bit different.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Brendan Haywood gets in there, and I had this argument with, I had this argument with my wife. she gets a little frustrated with him and his point production. And my point to her is, he's not in there to score 15 or 20 points. He's in there to rebound, to play defense, to alter what the other team is doing offensively, and to just kind of stir things up a little bit. And I think he does a good job of that, and it doesn't always show in the stat column what he does. And so I think sometimes fans have a tendency to look at Haywood and go, you know, I don't know if we're getting the most out of him, but I think it's all the things that don't show up in the points and rebounds and that's what he's doing for this team.
You're listening to the voice of Russell Scott. He is the radio station manager here in Fort Worth at KTCU 88.7 FM. He also does double duty on the Mavs podcast, has wonderful interviews on there with the coaches and the players, and you can check those out at Mavs.com. And since we are on my favorite subject, I love talking about post-play, the interior play. You know what's interesting? For a guy being 6'6 and 220, Vince Carter, I mean, talk about him generating offense on the block. I mean, if the double down comes out on him, you know, he will kick it out to the perimeter, but he provides that different element to the game. His ability to, you know, score with his back to the basket. I mean, he is has a great feel for the defender, and he can just exploit him and break him down.
And everybody knew that was coming when they signed him, right? No, not really. When they signed Vince Carter, I was, I don't want to say shocked, but I thought, well, here's another old guy coming in that, who knows, maybe he could play 5 or 7 minutes a game. And he has just been unbelievable because he does it from every place. As you said, he can post somebody up and play with his back to the basket if he needs to. He can step out and hit a three-pointer when he needs to. And I think part of what he adds to the team is veteran leadership. And, you know, I know you've talked to him after the games as well. He's got his head on straight. He's able to talk to some of the younger players and explain the game to them and help hold their hand a little bit. But he also has got a lot of energy. And for a guy that I thought was finished, he was 7 of 12 last night, finishes with 17 points. His plus-minus was 16 in the game last night. I really like what Vince Carter has brought to the team and how he just seems to have kind of – and I think his game fits, you know, because they don't run so many set plays. I think it fits his game because he gets out there and as he said, we just get out there and play basketball. We're not running so many set plays offensively. And that's what he does, is he's just a great basketball player.
Well, and this is a veteran team, and just how he has blended in so beautifully. I mean, he's a 13-year pro, but I remember him at the media day when he stepped to the podium. I just fell in love with the guy from the start. He's got such a beautiful smile, but just there's a calmness about him. He's steady, and I'm going to tell you, when he steps out on the floor, I feel very confident something positive is going to happen every single time.
Exactly, and I totally agree with you. And, you know, as you talk to him about some of the younger players and how they're starting to learn, he talked about how important the veteran leadership on this team is for those guys, for Roddy especially, learning from Jason Kidd and from Jason Terry and Mahimi, and also even Brandon Wright, being able to learn some of the things from some of the veteran players. He just seems to have such a clear vision of what's happening and just a really a good guy to have in the locker room, too, I think, for this team.
Well, and he comes from such a great foundation. I mean, yeah, we talk about what he's been able to accomplish throughout his NBA career. But, you know, he was a product of the North Carolina program, and that's absolutely huge. Well, let's move ahead real quick. Let's talk about, you know, there are so many new pieces to the puzzle with this Dallas Mavericks team as we come into this season. You know, it's quickly flying on by. But, you know, whether it's Delonte, Vince, Lamar, I just find – you know, how fascinating it is that Rick Carlisle and his staff, how they continue to build and bring a team together. You know, every season it's going to be different, but, you know, I just often wonder, and I want to ask Rick this at some point, you know, what is his formula to success? Because it is a difficult question. I mean, it's more than just defense and rebounding. How he's able to get these guys all on the same page, I find that remarkable.
It's magic. That's what it is. It's voodoo. It's something. I don't know what it is. Because when he got here, he didn't have whatever it was he needed. And yet he was able to watch this team and he was able to adjust his coaching style, I think, And he's just done everything right for the most part. He recognizes when he's made a few mistakes. You know, he was talking about Sean Marion and how last year they told Sean, don't take so many three-pointers. And he admitted that was a mistake, you know. He's listened to the players when they've come to him with concerns and with questions and things like that. And I think one of the best things he's done when Jason Kidd is healthy is he pretty much turns the team over to Jason Kidd. And as long as they're going to play defense and as long as they're going to hustle, he doesn't overcoach them. And I think that's probably what's been best is not overcoaching those guys.
But you know what, though? He doesn't overcoach them, but he recognizes, hey, boys, we got to have a back-to-basics mentality and approach, you know, when they're not paying attention to detail and they're not doing the little things. He has no problem breaking that down in practice and segmenting and saying, hey, we got to do some isolations here and we got to work on specific things because it's the little things that do make the very big difference.
I think if you took another coach, and you can name any a dozen of them, and you put them here, they might not have the success that he's had just because I don't know. He just seems to be able to tweak and turn and manipulate the players in a good way to get the most out of them. Yeah, sometimes I get a little frustrated that maybe Brandon Wright doesn't get enough minutes or maybe Roddy gets too many or something like that. But I think for the most part, Carlisle's done a great job.
So as we look ahead, you know, as I was talking about, the season just seems to be flying on by. Where do you see the Mavs at about a month from now as they, you know, prepare to make that big push?
That's going to be the question. I think good news is we saw Dirk, kind of the resurgence of Dirk.
Love that.
And he's the Dirk we knew. And to quote some other people who have talked about this, if you think Dirk is your problem, you got no problem. But, you know, it's going to be this season's going to come down to who can stay healthy. And that's a big question for the Mavericks is can they stay healthy down the stretch? Is Jason Kidd going to come back and be 100%? Because with the season going by so fast in so many games, I think that's a big question. I think the deal is let's get to the playoffs, make sure you're in the playoffs, and make sure you're healthy going into the playoffs. Because if you're not healthy, you're going to have a really difficult time. But this thing is going to be all mixed up. And, you know, Jason Terry talked about it, Sean Marion's talked about it, that you can go from first to eighth in the standings in a heartbeat with so many games coming up. But I think if they can stay healthy, you know, we doubted them last year, all the way into the NBA Finals. Oh, they can't beat the Miami Heat, and then they come up and beat them. I think they have earned some respect, and they've earned at least a little bit of belief from us. We should be standing back going, okay, I didn't believe you, and you did it last year. I'm not going to doubt you that much this year, as long as you can stay healthy.
Well, many times we hear Coach Carlisle talk to the players about having that be-ready mentality. As fans, you better be ready because we're hoping that they do go very deep into this season. Russell Scott has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com, and you can listen to this interview. Russell, tell all of our listeners where they can go and listen to some of those Mav podcasts because you have had a chance to visit with so many of the players. Who have you talked to lately?
Talked to Vince Carter, I've talked to Brandon Wright, in fact, just the other night. And, of course, we talked to Coach Carlisle after every game. So after the games is where we do most of our interviews, and we post the post-game audio from the Mavericks games. You can go to the Mavericks website, look for multimedia on DallasMavericks.com, look for the multimedia drop-down box, and you'll see the AT&T podcast. We've been doing it for about 5 years now, which is so hard for me to believe, but it's been fun, and AT&T seems to be happy with it. And you can also go to the Mavericks Facebook page, and it's Mavs Radio Facebook page. And Steve does a good job of getting it posted up there after the game as well.
Well, we do need to take time and pause just quickly, talk about some of the great things that are happening right there at TCU. We're so excited for you guys joining the Big 12 Conference, and the best is definitely ahead.
And that's going to be great. It's, you know, I am born and raised in Texas. I'm an old Southwest Conference guy. When the Southwest Conference broke up, I was a little heartbroken. Now, it's not totally back, but TCU's getting back into the fold. It's going to be a lot of fun next year. It's going to be very interesting to see. You know, Gary Patterson's done a great job with the football program. Now it's going to be fun to see it on a week-in and week-out basis playing, you know, some really good teams each week. For basketball, it's going to be a challenge. You know, now you're moving up, and for baseball, you know, the baseball team is can you believe they start in a little over a week?
How about spring practice? It's like, what, 2 weeks away? So it's crazy.
Yeah, a lot of good things going on as far as TCU and moving into the Big 12, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And by the way, if you're looking for the TCU basketball or baseball games, we carry them on FM 88.7.
Always some great stuff. Listen, thank you so much, Russell, for stopping on by, and we look forward to seeing you at the next Mass game, okay?
Okay, take care.
You bet. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead with Jason Peter and our Under the Helmet segment. Stay close.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports.
Delivering the insight
you won't find anywhere else.
Anywhere else.
Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson,
Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum,
and Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Miss one episode and you miss the game.
Working here in the Barnett Shale requires that you have the best equipment available, because every job counts. Put Energy Weld Fab to work on your next project. Energy Weld Fab manufactures oil and gas production equipment, as well as fabrication of custom vessels, piping, and structural steel. The Energy Weld Fab sales staff has a wealth of knowledge working here in the state of Texas and other regions, as some of their biggest clients are folks like EOG, Chesapeake, Quicksilver, and XTO. Call Mike Clements at Energy Weld Fab's team today with your questions and ordering information at 903-297-2500. That's 903-297-2500. Energy Weld Fab is your number one choice for oil field and production equipment, because they understand that every job counts. That's Energy Weld Fab at 903-297-2500.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter.
Jason Peter.
Under the Helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Momentum is everything, and how about those New York Giants, Super Bowl champions, and they came into the big game playing their best football of the season, and they were able to defeat the New England Patriots 21-17. And you know what, Jason Peter, I am not a betting gal, but I'm quite curious to see if you did bet on this game, because you said that you thought that the Giants, they would be the team that would be able to prevail, and it certainly was a game that lived up to the billing.
Yeah, no gambling for me, but was certainly a happy house on Sunday night. I mean, we've talked about it numerous times. Everybody's got that team that they grew up idolizing. And for me, growing up in New Jersey, it was the Giants. And like I've said, my grandfather had nosebleed season tickets, and we'd kind of go on a rotating basis, me and my brothers, as to who could go to the game with them. And you look down at those players, and they were living the life, the dream life. And I just have always had a major attachment to the Giants, and especially my brother getting to play for them for 4 years. It's the team that deep down, even though I've worn Carolina blue, there's still always a spot in your heart for that hometown team that you cheered for as a kid. I was thrilled when Eli Manning and the Giants were able to pull that one off, because it got close down the end.
It certainly did, and I'm glad, Jason, that you bring up Eli Manning, because a lot of superlatives when we talk about, I'm going to call him the Big E. I mean, what a crescendo to the season and in that game, and of course being the MVP. I mean, just, he did not disappoint.
No, he didn't, and the thing about Eli, I mean, he's taken a lot of criticism over the years, and there was a lot of talk, especially breaking training camp. He had done an interview where he referenced himself as an elite quarterback, and got a lot of national attention, and people were saying he's not an elite, he doesn't belong in the category of the Bradys and the Rodgers and the Breezes and guys like that. And all he did was he kept his mouth shut, I think, for the rest of the year and continued to play football. And it's not all about Eli, but I think he showed throughout the playoffs that he's a guy that if he has some decent weapons around him, and not saying the Giants have decent weapons because they have some pretty darn good offensive playmakers on that side of the ball, but he's a guy that can lead a team to the Super Bowl and win. And now he's got two Super Bowl rings, and they both came against New England and Tom Brady. So I think that says a lot, because although it is a team game, there is an element of quarterback versus quarterback. And in the NFL, it's a quarterback-driven league. And if you don't have a guy who's capable of making some plays, I think it's going to be hard to win a Super Bowl, let alone get there.
Two Super Bowl wins, what, two MVPs? I mean, it is, as you said, Jason, it's such a remarkable achievement. And Eli Manning, he's so young. I mean, what do you think his legacy is going to be? Will he be, is he a future Pro Football Hall of Famer?
Well, that's what a lot of people are talking about. And I know Kurt Warner came out and said, not right now. And it's kind of ironic because that's, I think, the guy that most experts were talking about when he retired from the game, as to whether he's a Hall of Famer or not, in Kurt Warner. And I think a lot of people are not quite sure as to where Kurt Warner will fall, just because he had so many good years packed all in together. He didn't really have that longevity, I think, in a career like an Eli Manning will, if he remains to stay healthy. But I mean, with the way that the Giants are built right now and the guys that they have on offense and they're fairly young, I think they're a team that certainly could get back to a Super Bowl. And all that does is help Eli's case for when that day comes to be recognized as a Hall of Famer. I think right now, if his career ended or if he wasn't able to win another Super Bowl, I think a lot depends, obviously, then on the individual. Does he go on? Does he have records similar to a Dan Marino who went his entire career without a Super Bowl? And I think, there's two ways that you can kind of get entrance into the hall, and that's either one is you're part of great teams that went on and win and won numerous Super Bowls, which in position four right now with the Giants already having two under his belt, or you can have that Marino type career where you just rewrite the record books and they have to kind of let you in just because of the your credentials in terms of passing yards and completion percentage and this and that. So, not to say it's the reason why football players play the game, but I know that when you're finished playing, it's nice to look back and say that I accomplished this and I was recognized for it. So I think certainly Eli's a guy that is in the conversation already. If we're talking about it at this point in his career, then if he continues to play even half as good as he has, say, in this past year, I think he's a guy that will probably have entrance into the Hall of Fame.
Well, I think everyone will agree that he has definitely become the quarterback that the Giants envisioned when they brought him on board. And I just think back to what the 2004 draft. I mean, that was what Ben Roethlisberger, Philip River, and Eli was, of course, a part of that. And he has definitely lived up to those types of expectations. How do you compare him, Jason, as far as, I just hate to do this being a mother of two sons, but, comparing him to his brother Peyton, we hear a little bit of that, Eli versus Peyton. What do you think about that whole thing?
Well, between the two, I can say this, at least, and it goes for both of them. They at least both have wives that don't complain about their receivers post-game, like Tom Brady's wife did. But when you're trying to compare the Mannings, I think Peyton is that guy that's more similar to the Dan Marino that I just talked about. Obviously, he has a Super Bowl under his belt But whether or not the Colts get back there, I would say that the Colts are probably more of a long shot to get back and win a Super Bowl than Eli's Giants are. But I think Peyton kind of sets the standard in quarterback play. And for a guy who didn't play this past year, he was the talk, I think, of the Super Bowl. Obviously, the storyline with his brother playing in it helped, but Peyton just is the guy that, I mean, he's blowing up internet servers all over the United States because the message boards in Miami are blowing up and in Kansas City because all of these fans are envisioning their team next year with Peyton Manning as the quarterback, because Colts obviously have a big decision to make and whether or not they pay him the, you know, $30 million bonus or whatever it is. But I think in terms of what they've done thus far, you can't argue with the play of Peyton and what he's been able to accomplish. I think Eli certainly has the Super Bowl rings, and that's something that you know, is equally as I think big of an accomplishment, maybe even bigger. But I think when you look at which guy maybe is ahead, Peyton, I think in my eyes, and he's also the older brother, so I think he has a little bit of an advantage there in that he's been in the NFL, 6 years longer?
Right. It is our Super Bowl game review. Jason Peter is with us this weekend. Of course, it is our Under the Helmet segment. And how about being 65 years old? Tom Coughlin becomes the oldest NFL coach to win a Super Bowl. What are you going to be doing? You're 65. Are you going to be coaching?
Yeah, I hope I can make it to 40. but who would have thought? I mean, this is a guy that New Yorkers were running out of town when they were 6-6. And, you know, that's the nature of the beast of the NFL. I mean, you are as good as your last game in a lot of ways. And even though this is a guy who's got a Super Bowl in New York, they still they demand a great team. And I think that's what makes certain programs, whether it's college or NFL, that's what makes those teams special, is that there is a standard and there is a want for excellence, I guess. Although, you know, there's only so many teams that can get to the Super Bowl, but Giant fans, they're New Yorkers, and they're going to tell you exactly how they feel. But I'll tell you this, if they sense where they see that you're a guy who goes out and busts his butt every single day and works hard, they love you. And, you know, I think the sad thing is when you're calling for a guy like Tom Coughlin, calling for his job when he's 6-6, the one thing that New Yorkers sometimes forget about, and I think fans in general, is they forget about the good times that happened maybe a year or two or 3 years ago, because, like I said to start off, you're only as good as your last game. And it's magnified, obviously, in some cities. New York, obviously, is the media market of the world. And the pressure that goes along with playing and coaching in New York is something that I think is hard to understand unless you've played it. And there is an added pressure, I believe, in playing in New York. And you know, the guys in Kansas City, they have pressure, but it's not the same type of pressure. You're under a major magnifying glass, I think, when you play in New York. But you got to tip your hat to Coughlin, because this was a guy a lot of people were writing off after Jacksonville, and he's now got two Super Bowls.
There you go. And, of course, you got to tip your hat to that entire organization. Just a job well done. They are the Super Bowl champions for Super Bowl 46, talking about the New York Giants. Jason, it's been great having you on. Next week, let's be sure and make a point. We'll talk about and get updated on the whole situation with Josh Hamilton. And I know you'll be able to share some great stuff with us, too. So we look forward to next week, and keep shoveling that snow.
Thanks, E. Talk to you later.
We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.